Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
I want to tell you about our next guest who is on the line and who I'm going to speak to momentarily. His name is Fred Maroun. I came across an article of his in the Times of Israel. He's a fascinating man in my quest to bring you fascinating guests. He is originally Lebanese. He's now Canadian. He is clearly not Jewish, but he supports Israel's right to exist as a Jewish state as much as he supports the Palestinians' right to self-determination in their own state. But he wrote an article following a statement by U.S. Representative Andy Levine. This particular article made headlines in the Jewish press and in Palestinian press when Andy Levine said, unless Palestinian human rights are respected, we cannot fight anti-Semitism. And it was Fred Maroun's response to that article, amongst other issues, that I want to discuss this afternoon. So, Fred Maroun, what an absolute pleasure and privilege to have you with us on Chai FM this afternoon.
Hi, Simon. Great to meet you.
As I said in my intro, I think you must be a really fascinating human being, born in Lebanon, now living in Canada, thinking outside the box, clearly not thinking what you were educated and brought up to think.
I guess so. I mean, I know quite a few Arab people who would like peace with Israel to happen. Very few of them speak publicly, though, often for good reasons. But you know, this war has been going on and off for over 7 decades now, and it all started because the Arab world just couldn't accept the fact that Jews have a long history in the Middle East, and for them to have an independent state was a very reasonable thing to occur, and they should have accepted it from the beginning. The fact that they didn't caused various events to occur and brought the situation to what it is today.
I must say with that, I'm 100% with you, Fred. I often think if a different decision was made in 1948, what a very different world we may be living in now. But you and I aren't going to solve the Palestinian conflict, the Palestinian-Israeli conflict this afternoon. I want to talk about this absolutely fascinating response that you wrote to U.S. Representative Andy Levine, who says, unless Palestinian human rights are respected, we cannot fight anti-Semitism. And I'd love you to take me through your response to that statement.
Well, I started the article by making an analogy with, other statements similar to that one, imagining that people would say, for example, you cannot end racism until, such and such a country has stopped abusing human rights. And that, people would rightfully reject that statement as ridiculous, because just because one group of people are committing human rights violation doesn't mean that hate against the whole group is justified. And on top of that, what Israel has done and is doing doesn't compare at all to a lot of much worse human rights violations that occur in the world today. I mean, Israel, obviously, there are occasions where it should be criticized. And I have done so. I've written articles where I criticized Israel. But in the grand scheme of things, it does not compare with a lot of other human rights violations. And even if it did, it still would not justify anti-Semitism. It would not justify saying, all Jews are just horrible people that should be hated. That's just ridiculous. And I couldn't believe that. Somebody who is Jewish would say something like that.
It seems to be that to a certain extent, though, this is the narrative that has begun to have traction on U.S. campuses. And it seems to me that this is what the youth are starting to believe.
Yes. Yeah, I was told by someone who's American that he essentially has to say these things in order to get support from some of the people on the left. And that is really, really bad. If people can't get elected, without saying things like that, then, I mean, how is that better than, for example, you know, Palestinians who can't get elected without promoting hatred against Jews? I mean, it's the same thing.
No, it's self-evident to me, but then again, I'm not representative of the majority, that is for sure. I'm fascinated in your Lebanese background, because it seemed to me that just for a very short, brief period, not too long ago, it seemed as if there was some sort of developments between Israel and Lebanon inching towards a dialogue. Would you agree that that was a correct take on issues?
To some extent, yes. There was a group within the Christians that was trying to bring peace between Lebanon and Israel. As far as I know, it was never a movement that included a lot of Muslims. And to some extent, the Christians were doing this for their own benefit rather than just because they wanted peace, because they needed a strong ally. They knew they were, during the Civil War, that started in, when was that, 1975. They were relatively in a weaker position, because on the other side there was the Palestinians, and Muslim militias, and they received support from the Arab world or some parts of the Arab world. Whereas, the Christian militias didn't really have any strong allies. So they wanted, and they did actually work with the Israelis, and they received weapons from them, from what I understand.
Fred, it's never really made sense to me, the fact that there is a state of war between Lebanon and Israel. My question to you is, did the Ariel Sharon's invasion of Lebanon turn ordinary Lebanese very much against Israel?
Well, yes, to a certain degree, it certainly did, yes. And for that reason, a lot of Lebanese people, even among Christians, still can't accept the idea of peace with Israel. But the fact that there actually are not just lack of peace, but actual fighting between the two countries that have occurred in the past, it's not because the Lebanese people want to have war with Israel, but because Hezbollah needs war with Israel in order to justify its existence.
Its existence, yeah, that makes absolute sense. And when you look at a map, Fred, and you see that the port of Haifa is, what, 3-4 hours drive from Beirut, and after the explosion in Beirut port, I mean, it could be transporting food and medical supplies to Lebanon with no issue, but politics prevents that from happening. It's a real tragedy.
Yes, it was very disappointing that when the events occurred in Beirut and Israel offered help, that Lebanon refused categorically. But, I mean, unfortunately, I wasn't surprised, because the Hezbollah has so much influence on the Lebanese government that just would not have accepted that.
With movements happening like they are in the Middle East, I'm thinking specifically of the Abraham Accords, would these peace treaties, they're not peace treaties because they were never at war, would these alliances between Israel and UAE and Bahrain and potentially Saudi Arabia not have an effect on their relationship with a country like Lebanon?
Well, it would have an effect if Lebanon was still mostly under the influence of Saudi Arabia, which it really isn't at the moment. It's mostly Iran that controls it. But if that changes, if the regime changes in Iran, or if Iran becomes weaker and Lebanon becomes again under the influence of Saudi Arabia, then these kind of things could happen. But the problem is that Hezbollah is so powerful. I just don't see that happening in the short term.
Fred Maron, I'm going to have to leave it there because I'm out of time, but I want to thank you so very much for giving us an alternative view. Sometimes we tend to be our own echo chambers and listen to that, which is easy and convenient to listen to. I think you've given us a really interesting take on developments in the Middle East, and thank you. I thank you for that.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
That was Fred Maroon, blogger, amongst others, in the Times of Israel. Fascinating. If you go onto the Times of Israel site and you search his name, you'll see a couple of articles that he's written. Really, really worth reading.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.